Hey everyone, I just wanted to say really quick, I have a new podcast that you can listen to if you want to. It's called The Level Up Pod, together with Murph, who some of you may know from Game Nights or the Command Zone podcast. We're just talking about the video games we own, the consoles we love, and why we love collecting. You can check it out anywhere where podcasts are found. Follow us at LevelUpPod_ on Twitter. Thanks. Welcome to the Herald's Horn. This week, I'm joined by Dan and Emma to talk about a whole lot of fun topics. Of course, we will be talking about the modern ban list update and technically a vintage change, the health of other formats, the cancellation of a Magic video game, and also I talk about a news article for a little bit. We also have the co-host notebook segment. We have the product watch segment. Always got to be talking about those products, and there's always going to be more of them to talk about. After the break, I am joined by content creator, Magic and otherwise, Lua Stardust. They came on to talk to me about their life as a content creator because they've been doing it for a long time. 1 year of making Scrybabies MTG a great Magic YouTube channel, and what they hope the future of Magic holds and how they would like to be involved with it. Hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, you are listening to episode number 6 of The Herald's Horn. My name is Cal Jones, and today I am joined by the wonderful Emma. Say hello, Emma.
Hello, Emma.
Emma today joins us in a very wonderful sweater, fresh off of being in the US. How's the jet lag doing?
It is kicking my butt. Yeah. I am very tired. For context, so we're recording this, Tuesday afternoon. I got back from the US Monday morning, and I've only got 8 hours of sleep. So, and I'm also working, so I'm just chugging through it right now.
So this may reveal some of my own cross-culture ineptitude. Is daylight savings a thing in England?
Yeah.
I had this discussion with my patrons.
So yes, it is, right? And the weirdest thing, right? So daylight savings happened in the US last weekend, right?
Yeah.
So daylight savings in the UK happens this upcoming weekend.
Yeah. So it's a week offset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hit daylight savings twice somehow.
Yeah, that's kicking.
Ooh, yeah, that sucks.
That's kicking my butt. Oh, I'm also joined on this episode by the person who's already jumped into the conversation. What are we about to hit the Gwitty? AKA Dan, betterly known as Moderately Anonymous MTG. Dan, how are you on this very soon after time change day on this Tuesday?
I'm doing pretty good. I make my own schedule for the most part, so I barely noticed. In fact, I was having this conversation with somebody that I did not change any of my clocks in my house from the last time we changed the clocks.
So you're all just
so set. I'm right on time.
Back again.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, let's get into the episode. And welcome back. We're going to jump straight into the news for this episode of the Herald's Horn. And it is a joyous day because it is the biggest news day, perhaps, of the Magic cycle that you could possibly have. It is ban list update week. Ban list changes come and go in the Magic sphere. We have to keep our competitive formats in excellent shape so that people can have fun playing them. And this last Monday, yesterday at the time of recording, 2 days ago at the time of this episode's release, there was a big ban list update. People had big hopes and dreams for this one that maybe they'd tamp down Cascade in Modern. Maybe Is It Phoenix in Pioneer would get a little bit of a tap, you know, that kind of stuff. And here are the top level results. We'll get into the more specifics in a second. Modern, Violent Outburst is banned, and Vintage, Ponder is unrestricted. They also gave some kind of health check updates on all of the formats. Standard, Pioneer, and Legacy, obviously no changes in either, all three of those formats. Wizards pretty much said that they were happy with where they are sitting. specifically Standard, they called out, is being the played the most as it's been since COVID, both in person and on Arena, since the COVID lockdown back in early 2020. Standard has at its highest play rate, both online and in person, as far as they can tell with the data they have available to them. Most popular it's ever been in recent memory. Phoenix and Pioneer, people were like, oh, maybe it'll get a ban, but Wizards is happy with where that deck and the rest of the format is sitting. It seems to me pretty obvious, like, that Wizards of the Coast is just interested in having Treasure Cruise as, like, one of the focal points of the format, something unique to the format, because obviously you're not playing Treasure Cruise in any format with Fetchlands legal. So we'll see if that's if that card ends up being banned. I personally don't think Wizards will do it unless they absolutely have to. And the opinion of many people much smarter than me is that Legacy currently rocks. Orcish Bowmasters may be slightly annoying, but everything in Legacy rocks. Any thoughts on these three formats, my two esteemed co-hosts?
As far as Legacy rocking, yeah, Legacy's in a really sweet spot right now. Orcish Bowmasters is not like the omnipresent menace that everyone thought it might be. Brainstorm, obviously still really good, people getting blown out on it. And you know what happens? Like, sometimes your Brainstorm is just worth it. You just have to shove it into Orcish Bowmasters, and it's fine. You still win the game anyway. it's looking really good. I am also a huge fan of Ponder being unrestricted in Vintage. I am by no means a Vintage expert or historian, but I'm a very big Vintage fan. And I know that it has been restricted since 2008, and it was originally printed in September of 2007. So
not a very long,
very
lifetime.
Small period of time where Ponder was unrestricted in Vintage. So very excited to see how it goes. A friend of, I guess, our show, because he's a friend of mine, Justin Gennari, I'm actually level one on Twitch, really fabulous Vintage player, was going at it last night, immediately queued up in the four Ponder queues and was having a great time. I didn't get to watch it, but I was very interested in the Wizards article that mentioned that this was specifically to boost the combo decks in the format because Urza's Legacy or Urza's Saga is such a menace in it, which is completely true. In the old days, when I started playing Vintage, people were even on Mana Gorge or Hydra. The 3-mana Hydra that gets real big and has Trample, as opposed to Monastery Mentor is the other win condition along with Time Walk. But just unnecessary now. Your Landslide is already your win condition. You don't need another one. People are back onto Time Vault combos in a big way because of that. So really interesting to see that blue combo decks need the help so badly that Ponder's being unrestricted. Very, very happy to see it. And I hope that it opens up some fun doors for some fun new archetypes.
Yeah, I was going to read out the whole thing about Ponder being unrestricted in Vintage, but actually Dan basically just more or less said it like word for word there. Not a lot has changed. They believe that spell-based combo decks in Vintage could use a little boost with the top of the metagame featuring Lurrus Saga, Initiative, and Mishra's Workshop decks. Even if many of the Lurrus decks contain blue, they generally feature zero copies of Ponder. That's kind of surprising to me, but I guess you gotta use your cards effectively.
They're not super necessary.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. And they did also note that it's not necessarily true either that they want to reintroduce every card that has been restricted for over a decade. But they did specifically think that Ponder was ready to come back into the fold. Standard, Pioneer, Legacy, very healthy. I especially love to see Standard being healthy again. I think that Magic, the game, is kind of at its best when Standard, a.k.a. the format that puts as much emphasis as possible on new cards, new sets, and also with some continuation past the newest set, but not far into the past. When we can have that kind of focus on the new cards and especially get to now ignore some of the, I don't want to say detritus, but extra stuff around the edges, like Universes Beyond, all that kind of stuff as of right now, not going into Standard. Feels to me that if Standard is healthy, if a lot of people are playing Standard, if we get to focus on the most recent Magic IP premier sets that Wizards comes out with, if that can be the focal for a lot of competitive play and a lot of local competitive play, that makes Magic a better game. So I'm happy about that.
Totally agree. Tons of great cards in Standard right now. Just a lot of really fun ways to play it.
All you need to do is just reprint Shieldred.
Oh my gosh.
It's so fun. I can't.
Emma.
It's such a fun Magic card.
Emma. So local price correspondent. Shieldred price update. TCG player low.
Oh, wait. Can I guess? Can I guess before you say
it? Let's do. That's what we should do. We should do Prices Right, but with Magic cards.
Well, Price is Right rules, like closest, but if you go under, you lose. Is that that's Price is Right rules?
Yeah, closest without going.
All right, Dan, what
the hell do you know?
So this is basic printing.
Okay, basic
printing. No foil, no fancy, just basic.
DMU.
Yeah, okay. DMU.
I have a rough idea. So I'm going to guess.
And this is market price.
Yes.
Just putting out that this is the market price.
Okay, I'm going to guess $91.
Okay, Dan?
I was going to guess 55.
Okay, it's 80.
I was like, there's six or seven different versions. There's no way it's $90. I guess I was right.
There's three printings of it.
There's only three? Okay.
Well, because you've got the standard printing, you got the pre-release promo, and then like the promo pack one, and those two aren't like proper printing, so... This was like before, like for some reason, Shildred didn't get all like any of the fancy printings, which is weird.
I thought she had one of those like profile printings and stuff.
She might have had like a like one of the Praetor ones from Phyrexial B1.
There's like a stained glass one.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it's just like
the ones you mentioned. I have no idea.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Either way,
they printed three or four unique Shieldred cards all within a couple sets of each other too, which doesn't help. I take it back. I said Price is Right rules was closest without going under. It is in fact closest without going over. So Dan, you win the non-existent prize for correctly winning the Price is Right styled game to guess the
but reprint Shieldred. Come on.
Reprint Shieldred. That's not to kind of derail the conversation, but I will a little bit here. That is like, I've been looking at getting into Pioneer again, because I've played it some in the past, because, you know, I'm interested in kicking around in the next RCQ season. That seems fun to me. I'd like to jam. And I was looking, and, you know, Magic decks are expensive in general, right? But if you're looking at just like on MTG Goldfish at the Pioneer metagame, there's a lot of quite strong decks that are... A lot of them max out at around $400. You know, is it Phoenix is maybe toward $300. All of the black decks are minimum like $600. And it's because they have some amount of Shieldred in them, which is, well, Sorin's also rocketed up to a very expensive card right now. Sorin's $40 card.
The three mana one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorin, Imperious Bloodlord, the combo deck, the Vampires is so good that Sorin has rocketed up in price. But,
well, Brian Koval's been rocking that in Legacy sideboards for a little while because you can't Red Blast it.
My gosh.
Nice. That's spicy.
That's pretty hot. But yeah, there's just like
Shieldred. I can't believe how good it is.
Shieldred, even for like Rakdos Midrange, the first list that comes up on Pioneer, it's $500 deck, 168 of that. By whatever MTG pricing MTG Goldfish uses, is a two of Shieldred just in the main board. And like, if you want to think that you want to play three for a weekend main or something, or you think you want to bring one in the side, which this list doesn't have, but if you want to play one in the side, that's just that you got to chill out another $80. That's insane.
It is insane. One thing I think WotC could do, which wouldn't help the price of Shieldred, but it would get more people to play like in the store championships, especially during like the standard period, is just to make Shieldred like the promo.
Yeah,
like, the promo you win for store champs.
That'd be sick.
Because there's been some like random stuff, and it's like, why not just put like the headline standard card that's going to be in standard for another year or so because rotations expanded another year? And I think that would get a lot of people just to play standard in paper rather than Delphi Voidwalker or whatever it is right now.
The Dothy's
especially since
too,
you can't just be like,
it is sick.
Set, here's another Shieldred.
Yep. All right. The big news, the big change, of course, in this overall BNR beyond, you know, standard's healthy, legacy's healthy, vintage Ponder unban, cool. Maybe I'll play with some Ponders in vintage. Violent Outburst is banned in Modern. Let's read the announcement here. Violent Outburst is banned. In our previous Modern update, we removed Fury and Up the Beanstalk from the environment. Doing so has returned Rakdos Midrange to an acceptable level without deleting it from the metagame entirely. Since then, we've seen Team of Rhinos, Living End, Golgari Yawgmoth, Amulet Titan, and it says Oh, they fixed it. It said, is it Phoenix yesterday? But they fixed it to say, is it Murktide? Rise in metagame share. More recently, players have seen some success with Leyline of the Guild Pact from Murders at Karlov Manor, Endomain Zoo, and Rhino Variants featuring Scion of Draco and Leyline Binding. Over the past regional championship season, Teamer Rhinos has begun to approach previous levels of Rakdos mid-range metagame dominance. While we want to preserve the Cascade strategies as viable options in Modern,
why?
We'd like to remove one or more powerful aspects of this strategy, namely the ability to cascade into a payoff card at instant speed. Casting Violent Outburst during opponent's turns reduces a lot of the risk inherent in such a strategy. It allows the cascade player to untap with all their mana open and rhino tokens or cycling creatures ready to attack. Both decks also include Force of Negation, which costs zero mana on opponent's turns, enabling a streamlined defense of the combo. Violent Outburst is banned. Removing Violent Outburst from the format will necessitate Cascade players to adopt Ardent Plea, which is an Azorius enchantment with Exalted and Cascade that also just costs three, or Demonic Dread, which is a Rakdos three-cost Cascade spell with target creature can't block this turn, and force them to play on their own turn more often, weakening both Cascade strategies and reducing them to an acceptable level of metagame share, much like the Fury Ban did to Rakdos midrange. Yeah, that tracks. If Cascades goes down to more reasonable levels, that's cool. I'm no expert on these things by any means, and I do enjoy it when they try to like trim down a deck rather than like just cut it off at the base like they have with some decks in the past, but you know, I wouldn't be too mad about like the cascade decks of anything being the ones that are like nipped off at the base, because I feel like it's just like, always going to be if
it's
any
always
new,
a problem, isn't
yeah
it?
It's just like there's nothing, they're doing something like that is in many ways intrinsically unfair, and they're like those decks are only ever going to get like better and in an unfair way. So I guess they're, you know, it's nice to keep a deck around. I do look forward to seeing how the decks evolve, especially because like actually Ardent Plea is kind of a real magic card. It's not an awesome magic card, but when you get to cascade, you know, you get to cast it, you get to cascade, and then, you know, you just have an enchantment that will give your creatures Exalted. That could matter, but I don't know.
It's relevant. It's relevant because it means the Rhinos deck can play Subtlety and Solitude because it exiles towards the Evoke Elementals. Obviously, it's early days. We don't know if that's going to do anything. Some Rhinos players have been tinkering with Leyline of Anticipation, which gives all your spells flash so you can play Ardent Plea at instant speed.
We'll always play at instant speed. You can't stop us.
But obviously, it's been like 2 days, so obviously nothing's really come of it. I would not be surprised to see Rhinos do really well this weekend because a lot of people are just going to be off it because they can't do the busted thing anymore, and everyone else is picking up Yawgmoth because, once again, that is the biggest winner from this BNR announcement.
It was very funny. The first list that I saw, like, kind of out of the gate that somebody was experimenting with, they were like, oh, well, since I'm only ever going to be operating at sorcery speed anyway, what if I made all of my three mana spells? Like, what if I just had like a Shardless Agent for a three CMC Cascader? And I believe it was Demonic Dread. Four copies of each of those. And then, you know what? We're going up the whole playset of Bloodbraid Elf too, because the only thing I'm going to hit cascading off of Bloodbraid Elf is my three CMC Cascaders, which will then go and get me my Rhinos. Just insane.
I saw that deck list too.
It's not a bad idea.
Cooking,
you
know, actually.
If you got to replace your extra two power that you're losing off the Violent Outburst, you get three off of the Blood Raid.
That could work. That could potentially work in Modern Horizons 3, because Lelia is coming in Modern Horizons 3, and that works really well with Cascade.
Ooh, I love
so
Lelia.
Bloodbraid into Lelia could be kind of fun for Rhinos. Might be a bit too
not
cute,
to mention, if you do go Bloodbraid into Ardent Plea into your Rhinos have Summoning Sickness, and your Bloodbraid does not, so you are going to get in for your four damage off of that Exalted trigger.
We've broken it.
All of this to be said, Modern getting a big shakeup right before Modern Horizons 3 is right around the corner too. So this format, as it currently stands, will not be the same for long, but I'm glad that they, you know, decided to pull the trigger anyways. And I think, like Emma alluded to, I will definitely be keeping my eye on Golgari Yawgmoth being the new best deck, especially because from what I've seen, those pilots can pretty much just like sidestep any hate you want to throw at them. Seems like a very resilient deck.
Yawgmoth's really resilient. It also won the last Modern BNR because Fury got banned, and Fury was really good against Yawgmoth. And now you're hosing down the deck that goes over Yawgmoth. So Yawgmoth is just like, cool, I guess I'm here and do the thing, I guess. So like Yawgmoth wins from this BNR, so there's Amulet Titan, so you can expect to see a little more Amulet Titan. But yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens, but I kind of expect Yawgmoth to be like the de facto best deck, unless someone breaks Rhinos again somehow.
Next ban list at addition for the modern format, Young Wolf.
The only thing that's holding Yawgmoth players is the ability to go to the combat step. Yawgmoth players just don't know how to attack. If they attacked more, they would do a lot better.
No.
I was going to say, I feel like the entry
combo
level.
I got to get my little combo.
Right, but just make it a big Young Wolf or a big whatever with Agatha's Soul Cauldron. That is also fine. You can turn sideways. You're allowed to.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, creatures. That's not what it's about. Because, like, Fury was, like, kind of banned right around the time when Yawgmoth's Agatha's Soul Cauldron was printed, too. So, man, Yawgmoth gamers have just been on the up and up for the last 5 months.
Well.
Yeah.
And they've got Insidious Roots, which sometimes sees play as well.
What does that card even do?
It's an enchantment that does stuff when stuff dies. I definitely got that right.
It's Cryptolith Right. It's Cryptolith Right. And whenever a creature leaves your graveyard, you create a plant token and put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah.
Damn, that was so
I'm
close.
In. Yeah, that seems gas.
And your creature tokens have like mana abilities. So it's really good with like Orcish Boatmasters.
Well, seems pretty good to me. All right, that is all we have for ban list update Monday. So now let's move on to the next piece of news. Kind of a weird one. It's technically Magic news. The free-to-play card battler game, Magic Spellslingers, is being shut down. I'll read the announcement. They put out this announcement on Steam yesterday. It is with both gratitude and sorrow that we are announcing the sunset of Magic Spellslingers. Starting March 6th, all in-game cash purchases will be turned off. The game's servers will continue to operate until noon Pacific time on June 4th, 2024. This has been an amazing journey for all of us. We thank you all for playing and enjoying our game, the Spellslingers team. Yet another Magic-based video game experiment that really didn't make it. There was this one. I know there was, there's like a gem-based one, which is still around, I think. And then there was also, they were trying to make a, not an MMO, but more of like a, kind of like a loot dungeon Diablo-esque clone that was in beta 2 years ago or something, and then also was very quickly shut down because it wasn't very interesting. This just shows how much I prepare for this podcast for you listeners. I can't remember the names of these games, and then rather than looking them up and writing them down, I did not do that. I can see Emma frantically Googling.
I think that's a problem. That's like an example of how like it's how bad it's marketed.
Yep.
Right. We just don't know this. I didn't even know this was closing down.
Like, yeah, I didn't know it was a thing.
Yep, exactly.
I don't think we're the only people right who have, you know, just be like, what the hell is it?
Yep. Okay, so Magic Legends was a free-to-play action role-playing game, very much kind of like a Diablo clone MMORPG type of thing. It was canceled in June of 2021. Okay, that was a while ago. And then there's Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest, which is just a puzzle quest game with Magic the Gathering flavor, which is still around, and it has been around since 2015.
Puzzle Quest is great.
Maybe you should play the Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest.
Maybe I should. Maybe I should.
a couple years ago, right around the time when there was rumors of the Magic the Gathering Netflix show being in development and that kind of stuff.
I remember that.
Yeah. There was definitely some kind of push inside of Wizards, I think right around the time when Chris Cox became the CEO of Wizards, maybe. There's kind of a push to say, oh, we have all this IP. What if we use it? We can develop these video games. We can maybe make a TV show. And Spellslingers, it came out with a small amount of fanfare. They talked about it a little bit. There was like a day of all the popular Magic streamers being sponsored to stream the game. I forgot it existed. You two both said you didn't know it existed or forgot it existed. I looked at Steam. It has 560 reviews. That's pretty sad for a game with what I would think of as a relatively major nerdy IP. But per the reviews that do exist, it was buggy and a lot of people did not like the free-to-play model. It kind of felt like Wizards of the Coast abandoned it. I don't have a story about this game. I wasn't able to dig up anything about it, basically beyond the news of it being announced and the news of it being canceled. So you hate to see it. It looked kind of cool. I watched the trailer. It looked kind of like a cool game, but seems like something they released because they technically had it. And now it is quietly being canceled, like under 2 years later.
Rip.
Rip indeed. Emma, what does this say about the future of Magic the Gathering? Are we going down?
Loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
Will Magic the Gathering be quietly canceled on a Steam community page?
That would imagine that universe is beyond collaboration with Valve.
Magic the Gathering is being shut down.
It might be the closest we get to Half-Life 3, folks.
Oh my god. So, yeah, that happened.
Rip.
Moving on. There's not actually much news this bye week, which I'm pretty happy about. So I just wanted to, before we move on to the rest of the show, I wanted to highlight a Magic the Gathering article. And that was How I Won Pro Tour Murders at Karlov Manor by Seth Manfield. Seth won Pro Tour at Murders at Karlov Manor, obviously, playing the Rakdos Vampires deck. Pretty sick. Pretty awesome. If you would like to know more about what goes into winning a Pro Tour, what the experience is like, day of, weeks before, the week before, how teams work, how you choose a deck, all that kind of stuff, check out that article. I think it's pretty good. I will put the link in the notes. I assume Emma edited it.
I was on PTO.
So all right. Emma had nothing to do with it.
I read the article. The article was very good, but yeah. I did not edit it. I was on leave at this point. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Good. Emma did not edit this article because she has a healthy work-life balance.
Are you going to ask me if I edited it?
Oh, Dan, did you edit it?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
sweet. We work buddies.
Yeah, surprise. I work for TCG
Player. I've been an editor for TCG Player for a decade. What are you talking about?
Yeah, who edited your articles, Cal?
What?
Who edited your articles? It's not me. It was Dan.
I thought it was you. It's time for the Product Watch. Welcome to the Product Watch, the recurring segment of the show where we talk about Magic the Gathering products, those that have just been released, those that are coming soon, and maybe even those that are in the far, far future. Fallout, Universes Beyond, we've been talking about it, it feels like, in passing on almost every single episode of the podcast that we've made so far. It's finally here. It's fine. The designs are really cool. They're really flavorful, and they are not very powerful, and yet people are still very excited about it. Fallout Universes Beyond, to me, signifies something that I hope, together with Doctor Who, actually, is to me a roadmap for what Universes Beyond could be if Wizards is really interested in this route, which is that it can just be really cool, really flavorful designs for characters, places, concepts that people are very familiar with, but they don't have to be cracked to sell packs. You know, we don't have to have the One Rings and Orcish Bowmasters. We can just have the Fifth Doctor, the Sonic Screwdriver, the Pit Boys, the Bobbleheads, and people love it, but they're not strong. I wouldn't put them in my random commander decks. They're not going to be blowing up Legacy, but people are still tripping over themselves over them because they're really cool Fallout themed decks and people care about that. Emma?
Yeah.
Very hopefully they're not good in Legacy because they're not going to be there ever.
Yeah. For the record, I know WotC had a really hard time getting the GW Warhammer cards on Magic Online. Like, renegotiating that deal was a pain, apparently. So I don't think they want to do it again, if possible. But no, as someone who hasn't really paid attention to the Fallout set, because I've
Yeah, you've been out for the entire content cycle at TCG Player. Yeah,
I've been off for 2 weeks, which is really nice to not think about any Magic releases. Mm-hmm. However, the Fallout, I think Cal hits it on the head here. They're not super powerful. They're really flavorful. They are the Universes Beyond precons tend like designed in a way to be kept together and not broken apart because it attracts a new crowd of people, right? These hyper casuals that are coming from Fallout into Magic. And you're going to see that over the next month when the TV show drops on Amazon because the TV series is coming, which is why these precons exist. It's to get more people into the game. Yeah. There's a couple of cards I want for Cube that are kind of exciting. But yeah, it seems cool. I'm not a big Fallout fan. I played Fallout 3 when it first came out and it was great. I hope people have fun with it that enjoy the franchise.
That makes a lot of sense. Emma, I do love following you on Twitter whenever it's spoiler season or soon after a set release because you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be great in my peasant cube. For every set, there's 5 more cards.
Yep.
It's always a cool uncommon or common to be found.
Yep.
Dan, big Fallout gamer?
Yeah, I love Fallout. I love these commander decks. I think they're super cool, super flavorful. I think that there are a ton of legitimately powerful individual commanders in them, and I think over time people will probably come back to these and brew a lot more decks with them. I threw together a deck tech on an uncommon commander from the set Raul Troubleshooter that I put up on my CEDH YouTube channel. Comedian did one for the Sultai Legend Transcendent Master. There's like a couple of like pretty good combo cards, and then the ones that are even not as cracked as like being CEDH commanders are just legitimately fun and pretty unique. I think they're really fun, and I think that people will probably enjoy them for a while to come. And yeah, again, like I said, hope they are not any good in Legacy.
All right, moving on through the product watch. Emma, is there anything of note about Outlaw Thunder Junction or Bloomburrow? What's going on over there? Our two upcoming standard sets.
Thunder Junction preview start on March 26th. Mm-hmm. Which is the weekly MTG stream mm-hmm. on that Tuesday, mm-hmm. Previews kickoff. I'm really indifferent on Thunder Junction because I'm not a big like Wild West cowboy person.
For sure.
I just want Bloomburrow and Modern Horizons 3. Q3 is my time kind of thing. Like I just want to get through the Yeehaw set. I imagine people are going to love it because they've been wanting a cowboy set for however forever, long. Yeah. And there's Oko and people are going to go, you know, get horny for Oko. But I'm just like, give me the mice and the badgers, please.
Dan, are you excited for the Hee-Haw?
I feel the same way.
Any Hee-Haw in?
No, I'm as a person who actually like grew up a little bit country, I'm not there for the Hee-Haw set. I don't know. Not very much interest for me. I don't really care. That Tiny Bones card, that's a cool card. I know the cards are going to be powerful. It's Magic. You know, cards are going to be good. They're going to be fun. So I'm sure it'll be fine. Not particularly for me. I'm right with Emma. I'm waiting for Bloomburrow. I'm waiting for Mouse to be a creature type. And I'm waiting for Modern Horizons 3 to break everything I thought I knew about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that all totally makes sense. And I'm kind of on the same boat. I hope that I personally hope that they print some like cool, you know, CDH is the format I play the most and care about, right? I hope they print some of like a CDH staple or two in the special styles from Thunder Junction, because they've really I don't know exactly what the two styles are called, but
there's a bunch of new styles.
Yeah, but like the wanted poster one is the one that I'm really interested in. But
yeah, they did a bunch of different styles because originally Thunder Junction was going to have an aftermath booster support, then March of the Machine Aftermath did terrible, so they've just kind of cut that and put like the bonus sheet in the set, and it's standard legal. Yep. It's kind of weird how they mashed it up together, but aesthetically it looks great and it's really colorful, which I like.
Yep.
I'm kind of tired of seeing Magic sets that are kind of dark and dreary. Mm-hmm. So having this bright, colorful vista of like Yeehawness should be fun and kind of refreshing.
I will say Magic the Gathering is now never going to beat the world of hats, the hat world's allegations, now that we have had nearly back-to-back sets where basically the only thing that is changing for the characters that are moving around the world are the hats they're wearing.
They put our hats
We've
on.
Gone from fedoras in Murders to now everyone's going to be wearing cowboy hats in Outlaws, and I assume everyone will be wearing like Three Musketeer hats in Bloomborough, whatever those are called.
Isn't there an Unfinity Commander that, like, you can build a deck if they have, like, hats in their art or something?
I think
like,
that you're
they're
correct,
eating
yeah.
well in the last two sets, whoever has that Commander deck.
I love the idea of the R&D meeting where they're like, well, we want to reprint Oko again. What do we do? Like, well, what if we put a hat on him?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
If we, that's good.
What if
that's
we,
good.
What if we, like, put a little hat on him, and what if we gave him an 8-pack this time? I'm in. I've never been more in. All right. Those are our next two standard sets that are coming up. It's almost time for previews of Outlaw for Thunder Junction to begin. Of course, we saw a little peek at that. And then, of course, Bloomborough is around the corner for that as well. We got a little peek at that. The only thing left I have here on the product watch is go buy the Sheldon Spellbook, Secret Lair. It is still available for sale.
Oh, good reminder.
For at the time of release of this episode, it will be available for sale for 11 more days. It is available in foil and non-foil. I talked about it fairly extensively in the last product watch segment from last episode, but the TLDR is Sheldon Menery was a great man for Magic. They made a Secret Lair to honor him featuring his favorite cards. Very thoughtful flavor text that was chosen by his friends. And since it was originally planned to be released while he was still alive, he also had a hand in art direction and similar as well. So I would encourage you to check that out. And of course, it's also benefiting a great cause, as much of the proceeds are going to the American Cancer Society, Sheldon's charity of choice. So yeah, I bought two non-foil. I've become so foil, non-foil build that I bought two non-foil Sheldon spellbooks. So
I'm putting into my shopping cart right now. Should I do the non-foil? You think so?
I don't know. I just like,
I bought a foil one.
Great advice.
You bought a foil one. I bought a non-foil
yeah,
one. So Dan,
for the
it
record,
sounds to me you have to buy one of each.
That is kind of what it sounds yeah. like. Yeah.
For the record, I've never bought like a Secret Lair product because I just tend to buy the singles because it just makes the most sense and delivery times are always weird anyway. Like, I'm not a big Secret Lair buying product person, but you have to make an exception here for Sheldon. And if you're not comfortable with buying a Secret Lair for the, you know, to help Sheldon and the charity, just donate to the charity straight mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. Like, you can cut the middleman as well.
Yep. You can cut the middleman. But then you won't have a like a wedding ring, soul ring that'll make you want to cry every
the
time you look at it,
really
like
nice.
I do. So, all right. So that's the Sheldon spellbook. We just bullied Dan into buying at least two of them. And after that, let's move on to the co-host's notebook. Welcome to the co-host notebook, the section of the show where, for once, the co-hosts get to decide what we're talking about. Whether it be Magic or not, this week we are going to start with Emma. Emma, what do you have written down in your co-host's notebook?
So as I've been off work for the last 2 weeks, I've been spending a lot of time with my partner. So we've been playing a lot of board games because board games are great. So we've been playing stuff like Carcassonne. We've been playing a lot of Ascension, which is a really fun deck building game. And a game that you also really like, Cal, in Wingspan.
True. I do really like Wingspan. I do like it a lot. Nice. Yes, board gaming, very fun. Which was your favorite one that you played? Did you try any new ones?
No, we just played a lot of stuff that we have it as a collection. So we also played some Azul as well. Mm-hmm. Azul's a really fun one.
Azul's
fun. But Wingspan's my favorite. I still need to get the expansions for those because you get to learn about other birds from other regions, and it's really neat.
Get to learn about other birds, and I've heard that, like, especially like the Asia one, I think, like, fixes some problems that people have with the base game. Classic. Yeah, Wingspan's a lot of fun.
There's also, I believe, the person who made Wingspan has done another variant with dragons called Wormspan. That I also want to get.
Yeah,
that one sounds cool.
Really fun. It'll be less educational, yeah. But it'll be fun.
Sure, but dragons are cool.
Dragons are very cool. Wait, Carcassonne? You said Carcassonne? That was the first, like,
yeah.
non-USA board game that I ever bought. My first Euro game. I love that game.
Really fun.
just building up. And it's so, it's kind of peaceful, but it can be so stressful too. You're just like building out this idyllic, idyllic village and farms and all that kind of stuff. But then somebody's trying to like sneak their way into owning the city that you own instead. And then
And then you draw the wrong piece and it all goes to mess.
It all goes to Shemess, my favorite place.
Shemess.
For places to go. Yeah. I love a good board game. I don't get to play board games as often as I would like. Jen and I both really like board games. Some of our friends also enjoy board games, but not like quite to the same level. So they don't have like the patience to like sit and listen to me like, well, the rule that you missed was, which is never a good experience, but especially if you're not like hyper into the experience of more niche board gaming, then it's often. Are you going to get to do much board gaming now that you're home?
Not really. I'm kind of back into working, but apparently there's this really cool roguelike involving cards called, is it Balatro, that I should try? Because apparently that looks really fun and it's a big time sink.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I pronounce it Balatro, but in classic fashion, there is a tweet from the dev that just says it's pronounced Balatro. So I think people like... Of course, you have to read it and leave it up to your own interpretation. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Listener, I pronounced it the way that I pronounce it. But yeah, if you're a listener, if you're looking for a funny little roguelike game, which is really simple and really addictive, check out Balatro on the Steam store or the Nintendo Switch store. It is now available for sale again after having been taken off the store because some ratings agency was like, hey, there's poker cards in here. This has gambling, 18 plus.
Oh, God.
Which was not, there's no gambling in the game. All right, Dan, what do you have stored in your co-host notebook?
Not a whole lot. SCG Philly was this past weekend as we were recording this. I was not there in attendance, but I had a lot of people from my Patreon Discord who were there. So we all met up on Friday night, went out to dinner and did an escape room over by the Valley Forge Casino Resort. It was a very good time. Just a very fun time getting to hang out with some of my patrons. It's very, very fun. I also finally finished The Sopranos after a solid like year of watching this program. I got to the ending. The notorious cutoff ending. I was very satisfied with it personally. I thought it was pretty great. Everything I wanted from the show, really. No complaints from me. I thought it was great. I'm also very glad to be done with it because the last like season and a half were not... They weren't bad, but they were the worst part of the series to me.
They had some trouble landing the plane.
It just got to the point where I felt like the plot started to come off the rails a little bit around if any listeners are familiar with the plot around the Furio affair. That's when I started to drift out a little bit. Things started to get a little samey and jumping the shark, I guess, is the classical term. I thought the ending came around pretty tight and it was a very enjoyable show overall. It was very, very good viewing experience overall.
I've heard you talking about The Sopranos. I've heard Patrick Sullivan talking about The Sopranos on the Unsleeved podcast, our rival podcast, obviously.
Our rival podcast, yes. Our
rival podcast.
Direct rivals.
And maybe I'll have to pick it up and watch it once I'm done watching One Piece.
Good luck.
It's a worthy watch. It's very enjoyable. It's not quite as good as some of the other like best TV series of all time. Yeah. So like... I haven't seen The Wire. That's on my list to go. I've been advised to watch Mad Men by a few friends of mine, which I tried in the past and I sort of fell off around the second season. But I've been advised that it's worth getting through the slump.
All right. Well, listener, you have your TV recommendations. You have your board game recommendations. You should have showed up at SCG Philly. You could have seen Dan. You should have showed up at MagicCon Chicago. You could have seen Emma. Look at all these opportunities you've had and you've missed to meet the co-hosts of the Harold's Horn podcast. Co-hosts, Dan, Emma, do you have anything else to leave our listeners with? Dan.
Yeah, I always forget to plug that I have a YouTube channel. Go sub to it. I produce CDH content over there. It's Moderately Anonymous MTG. I don't think I've thought to mention it a single time, nor do I mention this podcast on my live stream that I do three times a week on Monday.
Monday, I remember Wednesdays popping and Thursdays into your Twitch.TV. stream, and you were like, oh yeah, Harold Horn, I should put your
plug list. I need one of my podcasts to pop in the chat. Otherwise, I will not recall that I have one. So yeah, please go sub to me on YouTube, and thanks for hanging out with us. It was a fun time, as always, to be on the show. This is number 6, so canonically, whichever co-host gets to 10 episodes first co-hosting the show, Cal has promised a Letterman-style jacket, and I'm gunning for that jacket.
Have I promised that?
Ooh.
Yeah, you don't even remember anymore because it happened so long ago, but I did not forget it, so.
Feels like gaslighting, but you know what? I'll see if I can make it happen. Hey, are you 6 for 6?
Yes, wow. I am 100% as of the moment. Wow.
All right.
I thought about skipping today and playing hooky, but I didn't.
Well, it would have been.
Like, no, I need that fucking jacket.
Emma, anything to leave our listeners with today?
In a similar fashion to Dan, feel free to check my content out on TCG Player Infinite, because I am really bad at plugging my own content. So just check it on there. I have a weekly column on the bestsellers and a couple of other bits on occasion. And also, you should read Cal's content, because that's also good. Allegedly. Also on TCG Player Infinite.
Also on TCG Player Infinite, I do love that we have finally made the eventual transition from this little ending bit being like, you know, don't forget to drink your water, to subscribe to me on YouTube or else I'll show up at your house.
No one said that part.
I did. All right.
Well, yeah, subscribe to the Harold's Horn or we will come to your house.
Yep.
And perform an episode live for you in your kitchen.
That would be great. That's the Patreon tier waiting to happen.
Hey there. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to help both me pay my bills and pay the bills of the co-hosts, consider supporting us on Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can support the content you care about directly, officially becoming a trumpeter, or whatever the official Harold's Horn fan title ends up being. It's contentious at this time. If you back us, I'll even send you a sticker in the mail. The link is in the podcast's description. All that being said, let's get back into the episode. Hello, Lua Stardust. Thank you for joining me today on the Harold's Horn. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's just us and our cats today. I'm thrilled. They're excited to be here.
Yes. Listener, of course, we have already been chopping it up for a little bit on here because Lua and I are more than interviewer and interviewee. We are friends.
We are. But yeah.
Both of our cats are within mere inches of us, or perhaps feet. Mallory's about a yard away from me, I would say.
Yeah, the cats are on the Scrybaby's chairs. And me and Cal are so close that if you have an iPhone, you know how you could pin people to the top. It's like a MySpace top 8. I have Cal on there. So that is my identifier, you know, that like we talk.
I also have Lua on there. She is my, you're actually, your number, you're in the top right. I don't know how you ended up on the top right, but. That's where I've got you.
You're number 4.
Number 4.
You're on the bottom left.
Bottom left, yeah.
And there's only Excellent. 6, so you're thriving.
There's only 6. I know. You made it into one of the 6. You, my other best friend, 3 group chats, and my wife. So you're in a high company with the group chats. Anyways, of course, as I said, Lua and I are friends, and I wanted to bring her on today to talk a little bit about life as a content creator. And I know that's a little bit weird to say. You could say that about a lot of people, but a lot more than a lot of other people in the Magic the Gathering space. Lua has kind of just been creating content for life. She's been on that game. It's pretty much always been her career. Is that right, Lua?
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of. So I'm gonna be 31 this year. Oh my god, exposing my age. And I
doxed on the Harold Torn podcast. It's a tradition at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. I started like doing odd jobs when I was a teenager. Like I didn't have like a regular job. I just kind of like did favors or babysat or like pets. I like did stuff like that. And then my first job, I was 19 and I was a server for about 8 years. And then I also had like other jobs. So while I was a server, I was also manager of like a chocolate shop and I was modeling full time. So I just like to be like the jack of all trades with work. I like to dip my toes into many different things, which is also kind of what I've done with content. So
yeah. And so you've dipped your toes into a whole lot of different things. And I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening to this podcast are familiar with explicitly your Magic the Gathering work, which is, of course, at this point, largely being one half of mm-hmm. the Scrybabies mm-hmm. Podcast. Go listen to that. If you're listening to this podcast, surely you love podcasts. You can listen to the Scrybabies podcast, gameplay, et cetera, et cetera. But what other kind of content have you done? We'll get into the magic. Obviously, this mm-hmm. is a magic podcast at the end of the day. But what other kind of stuff have you made over the last, I was going to say nearly 31 years, but you haven't been making stuff.
It's like a decade.
Well, at the age of two, yeah, I made a wonderful really drawing.
Into, yeah, that seems like me. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom would like full on do photo shoots with me. So like, I guess I started modeling really early, like just mm-hmm. glamour shots galore of that kind of shit. So I don't know if I can say here. Do you edit
that's
that?
That's fine.
Okay.
You'll get a nice semi-honk put I'll over honk. Top of you. Yeah.
A little goose. Okay. So I started doing content in 2012. I started out with modeling and cosplay at the same time because I really wanted to model for a particular website. And I also was on Tumblr a lot and I thought cosplay was really cool. And before that too, like I have just like a very ingrained nerd history. So I love comics and TCGs and just anime and all that stuff. So it was a cool way of like celebrating those things that I liked and bringing them to life. So I started with that in 2012. And then I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. I was published like doing reviews for comics for a while. So I was partnered with like Image Comics doing stuff like that with them for a while. And then before COVID first hit in 2020, I was doing events all around the USA as a cosplay guest judge and panelist. So I would do that, which was really cool. And I'm picking it back up again because a lot of these shows tend to do a lot of TCG stuff now. I also do burlesque, more so the nerdlesque aspect, so like the nerdy version of that. And yeah, that's kind of like what I'm focusing on currently. I'm really just trying to make myself the like TCG, TTRPG girly.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And obviously you've tried out all of these different things. You've been quite successful in many of these different things in my experience. Is it just like you enjoy doing so many different things and have to keep busy? Is that what keeps you trying new things, doing all these different things, trying all these different things?
We talk all the time about how we're too busy and we take on too many things. And I think that's just me as a person. I grew up in a like lower middle class, probably lower, you know, we really went through it. And so to me, if I'm not like, and I don't want it to be in the toxic way, but if I'm not grinding and like working and making money so that I can prepare myself for like any situation, I just feel like,
yeah, that's like
just,
what are you doing?
Yeah, and it's like a survival thing, and I've done that my whole life, so I think that's just how I work. I don't want to do it to the point where I have like an early onset heart attack probably, but stuff like that is just like, it's important to keep busy. And I have ADHD too, so like doing many things makes it not feel stale if I'm like just doing one thing. So I like that.
So you're doing all these things. Are you trying to rest these days too? Getting that rest in?
Yeah, actually, I just changed my routine, which is like my number one thing. If you want to do mm-hmm. content full time, I think it's really important to put yourself on kind of like a strict schedule or strict routine, because there's a lot of times like I don't finish up till midnight and I'm waking up at 8 a.m. and going all day. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I changed my schedule so that like I have a work period specifically throughout the day and that I don't take any business at like 7. So definitely rest way more than I'm used to, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There it is again. The last time I interviewed you was the birth of the "yeah, that totally makes sense" meme
mm-hmm.
in Cal parlance, and it's returned again. Okay, so yes, that's you. That's Lua, the creator. You've been doing it for a long time now.
Yep.
And eventually, you came to magic. You're trying to be the TCG and TTRPG girly. Actually, let's talk about TTRPGs a little bit. What is your background with TTRPGs?
I love just D&D, Powered by the Apocalypse. I've played a little bit of Pathfinder too, but I like a lot of the indie stuff. I've done a lot of like campaigns and one-shots for charity. I do some streaming with stuff like that. And it's just a thing I like a lot. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with Magic and tabletop stuff in general. We collect a lot of board games too, so I think it's just like the same kind of world that I'm in. And I've definitely have been doing the modeling and cosplay for a long time, but I'm really just trying to build like a persona that's not like just Scrybabies. I want to kind of
for sure
have a little bit of me in there too, so that's what I've been doing with that.
Yeah, you gotta be able to do your own thing too.
Yeah,
Scrybabies can't be everything. What kind of have you gotten the chance to make much TTRPG related content, or is that more so just like something you're interested in, or is that something you'd like to make more of in the future? And if so, like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I'm joining actually a campaign that's going to be starting up soon. I don't have all the details that I can like say right now, but it's something that's going to be like pre-recorded, and then I also have a space here that I want to start doing them as well. And I don't know, I like to be the DM, I like to play those things, but as far as content goes, it's mostly just been like making appearances, making characters, doing stuff like that. So I think because kind of want to do more of like lifestyle content at these events and like showcase those things, so I think it kind of goes hand in hand, like I said, with the TCG stuff. But yeah, not too much is out there. You could definitely search it and find some like gameplay I was on, and like I played a lot of, like I said, charity one shots and stuff for my friends, so that's kind of my big history. I've done some other cool stuff. I DM'd for Dragon Shield one time. That was really cool at Gen Con.
Oh yeah, was that at Gen Con?
Yeah. And so that. I'm trying to just do more stuff like that this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, I know you're also interested in, speaking of events, getting back to some of the more cosplay judging and all that kind of stuff too, right?
Yeah, I'm doing an event at the time of recording next week in Richmond, or this week in Richmond, and it is going to be like a multitude of things. So I'm there as a cosplay guest and performer, but I'm also in their TCG hall. So I'm doing like magic events and playing events there too. So I kind of get to do everything. So I really like doing that show because it's super fun. There's actually some in Columbus, so I'll be there probably this year too. And yeah, it's been nice seeing that conventions, because I've been going for a long time, but it's nice to see that they're pulling more TCG stuff in there and like trying to make that a focus as well.
Yeah, certainly. It seems like more and more it's being realized that there actually is just like massive crossover across not only all like nerd subgenres possible, but especially like the TCG space. Like I see more and more random posts on Instagram of people being like, yeah, I'm going to AnimeCon number 25 to play in their modern 10K they're having for some reason.
Yep. I think too, like when I started posting about me doing magic like 3 years ago, I didn't like want to make content about magic. That's like not what I wanted to do. I should have, which is like, this game is fun and it's something I enjoy doing, because I tend to be.
I am posting about it personally on my personal Twitter account.
Yep. Yeah. And so I make a lot of my hobbies into work. And so I'm trying to not do that. And that's what I was trying to do with magic. And a lot of my fan base that I already had, like through doing cosplay modeling, was like, oh my God, I love magic. Blah, 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 just popping off about it. So then it just kind of grew. And I'd say like half of my Twitter account was just modeling before, and then I started playing Magic, and now it's doubled from that, which is pretty cool. So yeah, it was a lot of crossover. Like those nerds who really enjoyed comics and stuff also love going to, you know, Friday Night Magic, which was nice.
Which then, of course, makes you the perfect person for them to follow.
Yes.
It's a one-stop content shop.
That is true. That is what I provide to the internet.
Nothing else. I am a one-stop content shop. Do not look past consuming the content.
There's nothing else there.
Do not pass go.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Do not collect a comic review. Please don't read those. So turning the corner a little bit into a little bit more in the modern era, because this is like a lot of the stuff you have done, and maybe some of the stuff you would like to get back to, like the cosplay judging. I'm sure we could talk about cosplay judging for a long time. But the Scrybabies, it's what you're doing now. It's one of your main focuses, together with good old Tori of the Vast, of course. With special guests, Steve and Ian, often.
Yeah, they're basically, they call themselves the Scribe Boys, or Steve gets mad and calls himself the Scry Man. But they...
Scry Man?
Yeah, they're kind of like the unofficial babies. Like, they definitely help out a lot behind the scenes. Honestly, we probably couldn't do 90% of what we do without Ian being there on set. And then Steve also comes into film and help on set, too. So they are just the best.
So a team of 2.75 people, kind perhaps. Of, yeah. You're a part of the Scry Babies, co-founder of the Scry Babies. How did that come to be? Like you said, and I know you've talked about this in the past too, but we can talk about it here. You just said like 2 minutes ago, oh, I was playing Magic. It was fun, but I didn't want it to make content. But as we've established so far, you can't help yourself. What happened?
Okay, so when I started playing Magic, I wanted things to follow and like kind of learn about the format. So I followed, of course, like Professor and Command Zone. And from there, just found like a bunch of other content creators, niche accounts, things like that. And on TikTok, I had found Tori's account. And I saw she was from New Jersey and like very tattooed. So I was like, you know, I'm going to message her. I'm going to try and like just be like, hey, I think you're really cool. And so we had a conversation and it like went really well. Like we just had really good chemistry and we just became really good friends. And that was like right after I started playing Magic. So 3 years ago, a little after 3 years ago, a little under rather. And we just had been talking for a while where we were like, if we ever do Magic like content other than what we're posting on TikTok or whatever, like we'd want to do it with each other because we're so comfortable with each other and can be so real and honest with each other. And I think a lot of Magic is very like male dominated for content, especially. It's not as diverse, or it is more diverse than it was when I started watching, for sure. And there wasn't a lot of women at the helm kind of doing Magic content. You have, of course, Good Luck High Fun, you have EDH Hijinks, you have these other channels, and then of course individual content creators who stream and do things, but on YouTube there isn't a lot of gameplay. So that was something we wanted to do. And Tori was talking about this the other day and she was like, yeah, I just thought we would do like one episode a month. And I was like, no, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right.
No,
so,
you're, I was about to say, you're never going to.
Yeah, no. And it's also
not a
just,
chance.
Yeah, even if we did one a month, I feel like it would be hard to kind of accumulate that following and talk about it and do stuff. But we planned that kind of like in August. And by December, we shot our first episodes. And then January, it was out. So it was like a really fast turnaround for it. And I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really good. People seem to really like it. Our first episode was CDH. It did extremely well, which is like not always the case for CDH, especially in the first episode, especially. So we had a very successful launch and it's been a lot of like learning curve stuff because YouTube is really, really finicky. And this year we decided to take on doing the podcast, which we've been really liking a lot and it's been doing very well. So that's where we're at.
Y'all also kind of got off to a unique start too, because before you even had like shot your own episodes or whatever, like in the Philadelphia area where you are now, you two went off and shot with the Prof and you're like, yeah, we're the Scry Babies.
Yep.
and also like with the Spike Feeders, which is technically where your first episodes were made.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's definitely a unique way to get started up.
Yeah, I think when I got contacted by Prof, he was asking like what kind of formats I like to play. And I was like, kind of popper, I guess. And he asked for somebody else like as a rec, and I recommended Tori because, of course, we love to do stuff together and film together and make content together. And that was like right when we were kind of figuring out what Scry Babies was. So it was like the perfect opportunity to be like, hi, check out our show. And then with Jim, he was very nice. We went to Spike Feeders and filmed some episodes for them and they filmed one for us. So it worked out to have like a piece of content ready to go.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Hey, what do you like to play? Oh, I like to play popper. Perfect. You know who else likes to play popper?
Andrea Mengucci, greatest of all time. How about you fucking lose? Like, yeah, it was, I'm very thankful I had that opportunity to, like, you don't see it on the video, but we did get, like, a chance to play popper and stuff after as well. So it was really nice getting to hang out with him and have that experience. But it was also kind of crazy. I was, like, sweating. I was like,
that's really into the deep end because you still hadn't been, like, around the Magic community that long and you'd been playing Magic for like what, under 2 years maybe?
I always talk about that I was collecting cards when I was younger, but I had never played Magic until I think it was like December, no, probably like, yeah, December or January 3 years ago was like the first time I played, right? So it's like very fresh and like it was a lot of things at once. And I think I think in the nicest way possible that people saw my following and just either assumed I like had a history with magic or just like that I was good at magic or that I don't know, maybe that was like they thought my content came like my following came from magic. And so it was a very different experience.
Yeah. And this is kind of like, I think a weird conversation to maybe have in the Magic the Gathering community, but I think there aren't that many people who get to come into Magic with like an outside following, but you had this outside following because like we kind of talked about for the first 10 minutes or so, you had been doing con stuff and doing modeling and, you know, even like writing comic book reviews and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure you had another podcast in the past, right?
Oh, I've had two other podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. So like you've been, it's not like you were just like randomly, you know, you had a following that you got to bring in, but you had like earned that following over the past, I don't know, 8-9 years already.
Yeah.
Which then if you're on that grind and you are able to get that following by doing excellent work, then it does really help out when in the future you say, oh, actually, I'd like to do this other thing. And then you can.
Yeah, kind of try something else.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because I'll start to post like about my cosplay stuff or I talk about modeling things. And like the numbers are like 1/16th of what I get when I post a magic thing. And I'm like, well, they were not from this. Like they were from a different thing. But I think like I didn't really lose followers or anything else like when I started posting magic stuff. But it's interesting that they've kind of shifted over entirely to that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So how's the Scry Babies been? It's been about a year now, right? It's in your latest venture. It's been a little over a year.
Yeah.
Is that what it's been?
Yeah, it's been about a year. We're in March. I have to think about time because time is a construct and I can social construct and never think about it.
Well, especially if you're just waking up at 7 and going to bed at midnight grinding content all day long. Really makes the time fly.
We just got a new studio. So we're in the middle of fixing that up. We have an area in there for when we do podcast and then we have our guest on. It's been really good. I'm feeling really grateful to be able to like create with Tori. And we live so close to each other and having a space to do that's awesome. We're also like in Philadelphia where there's tons of amazing content creators here. And also a lot of people do come here for events. So we had the opportunity to film with just about anybody that we want to, which is nice. And we have a couple of trips coming up this year as well. We're going to LA this year to film with some really cool people that you might recognize from other shows. And it's just a really like humbling and exciting experience. I don't know what the longevity of something like this is. And this isn't like we're stopping this next year, right? But when you think about content creation, like there's not really a deadline. I know people in their 50s who are still making content and like doing OnlyFans or doing YouTube or doing something else, right? And so it's crazy because magic has been alive and here as long as I've been alive in here. And that's not dying. It's not going anywhere. I don't think like magic's going to stop producing stuff in 2026. Like it's not happening. So
if you listen to the boomers, it'll be done in 2 years from now for the last decade.
Yeah. Know. And so like, I don't know what the future holds for Scry Babies, but I feel really good and positive about it. We have a really great reception from people. We have a really lovely fan base who supports us. And like, I think we're doing good by putting content out there. I think it's fun. It's silly. It brings joy to people. So I just love creating this. I don't even know what you asked me. I'm just excited right now.
Yeah, how has this first year of the Scry Babies been was the question. But I guess from that, what you've been creating content this long and kind of on the grind for this long, would you say that the Scry Babies is your crowning achievement?
It's the coolest thing I've ever done. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything in magic that I've done is my favorite thing I've ever done. And I've done a lot of stuff. Like if you go to my website and look at my media list, it is just like music videos, big shows, like appearances, things like that. The first time I like went to LA and like met magic people was with Joe Johnson, and we were supposed to film for his previous show at the time. And he was like, oh, I can't do this weekend, but do you want to like come in 2 months to film with Prof and Post Malone? And I was like, yeah, that's kind of like the coolest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, fine. I'll be there. Fine. Well, you know.
Yeah. And like, even like, those are big experiences, but even like big experiences to me, sorry, I know that's, I'm not trying to be cloudy, but that is literally like the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. And it was cool because that connected me with my family and they were like, oh my God, you got to have like this time with Post Malone. That's so cool. But then there's, of course, like to me, big moments are also like when we go to MagicCon and we have a line of people who are just like excited that we're there and they want me to sign their freaking Mox diamonds and silly cards and Winotas. Like that is like the best feeling in the world. And I feel so grateful that people care about us and want to listen to us and support us, but also that I get to do a Tori because she's just the best person ever. And she's my wife and I love her. That's it.
This is off the record. I wasn't laughing about you being like cloudy or whatever. I was laughing because you were like, this is the greatest thing ever. But then I realized I remembered how miserable you were actually most of the
time. Oh my God. It doesn't have to be off the record. So the fact that I literally had to sleep under a friggin' table because they were like, if you can go lay in the bed. I was like, I will never get up. Like, I have to sleep on the floor. I recorded that game, I think, at 2 o'clock in the morning on West Coast time. So it was 5 o'clock on my time. It was an experience, but
they're just like going hard. Yeah. Yep. Everyone was going hard except for you.
Yes. Yes. You're good friends, Posty and the professor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Posty and Professor noted Callahan, good friends. Okay, so if the Scrybabies is the highlight, I know there's also like lowlights too. is there anything that's been the worst part of your content creation career, Lua?
Oh my gosh,
okay, we can just say, what's the hardest part of doing the Scrybabies? Like, obviously, it's a lot of people think that content is all fun and games, and it like 90% is all fun and games, but even like the best thing in your career, yada yada yada, I know it has to have some tough points too.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't think people realize how much work, effort, and money goes into making this. I think there was like a thread that MTG Nerd Girl had posted recently, and it was like a couple months ago, right, where somebody was like, oh, you just sit there and you film things and it takes 45 minutes for a game. And I'm like, I wish my games took 45 minutes, except when we play CDH, we filmed one that was 25 minutes the other day. It was great.
Holy moly. That's the dream, that's actually the dream. Yeah. That's the dream.
And it was with Play to Win, and so you know it's good. It's good content. Yep. But yeah, like our average. So just to give you an idea of like, I want to actually record us setting up and breaking down for the day and just do like a time lapse of it to kind of show.
Time lapse, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of freaking work, man. So for example, if we have a filming day, we basically start at 11 a.m. like it's our call time for a guest. But we are up beforehand setting up the studio, prepping things. I will grab like snacks and drinks and make sure everybody's ready to go. And then we have to film, which we usually end up filming until like 10 p.m. We take a 1 hour lunch break in between to feed our guests and us. And every time we're done with a game, Tori and I get 10 minutes to grab a snack, use the bathroom, do something else, and then jump right into it because we have to film. And sometimes there's camera issues. Sometimes there's other things which we've been trying to fix and working really hard on. And I think we finally fixed it, which is good. But I think the hardest thing is that people don't realize what goes into it. And that's sometimes I'm up until 2 a.m. fixing things for the episode, prepping them. Like, the amount of money we get from like sponsorships and Patreon and stuff, like, we have not paid anything to ourselves in our entire first year working, and we haven't done it to this day. Anything we've made goes right back into paying our editors, paying our team, like taking care of our guests and feeding them and those kinds of things. That never like hits our pockets. And I think people assume we make a bunch of money or maybe don't realize how much work goes into just filming one episode, let alone a whole day of doing that. So that's hard. And sometimes it sucks when the comments are not the best about it, which doesn't always happen. But I think people just really like to comment things.
Yeah. Would you say that like Scrybabies is sustainable right now? I know earlier you were kind of like, this is a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it for 5 years or whatever. Is it sustainable for you?
Yeah,
and Tori?
It's definitely sustainable. Okay. It's definitely like we weren't in the negatives in our first year. We definitely paid out a lot of like out of pocket to buy our cameras, to buy our gear. Like our first few episodes, we paid out of pocket to edit, right? Things like that. But it's definitely been sustainable. And I think it's a thing that could be like 10, 12 years. Who knows? I don't know when Tori's going to want to retire from doing this. I have no idea. I don't see like there being an ending point, but I also just, again, question longevity. It's the same thing where like at some point Jimmy and Josh are going to have to retire, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think maybe like Rachel's the successor, and then after Rachel, then it's somebody else, right? Like that is just kind of what I feel. I don't know if that's true. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
It's just,
there will come a time when Jimmy Wong will want to do something, and Josh Lee Kwai can't do that for forever, and you can't do that for forever either.
No, yeah.
I couldn't do Playing with Power for forever, so here I am making this podcast instead.
But it's a good thing. And I think that was something that you were really strong at doing on Playing with Power. And I think it's nice that you get to have your creative freedom here. So
thank you, Lua.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That touches me right in the heart.
beautiful.
Okay, Lua, there was one more thing that I wanted to talk to you about. You're making a lot of content, sure. You've made a lot of content in the past, sure. But something that I have observed, and I'm sure it's some purposeful stuff from you, but something that isn't like exactly advertised as much anymore, not advertised much in general, but it seems to me that you've become increasingly more and more passionate about like organizing cool stuff within mm-hmm. the TCG community. With, of course, the most recent example being at MagicCon Chicago. Mm-hmm. You got together a lot of CEDH players, creators, personalities, whatever you want to call them, and hosted like a kind of a big shindig that was like, hello, come learn to play CEDH. So for much of Saturday at MagicCon Chicago, we got to show a lot of people CDH, and, you know, it also gave people who may already play CDH or dabble in it a chance to play with who they wanted to play and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the first time you've done something like that. Mm-hmm. What is it about doing these relatively, not to be like really Lua aggrandizing or anything, but like, what is it about these like relatively thankless organizational tasks or charity streams or, you know, all this kind of stuff that you have been doing more and more of over the last few years? What is your drive behind doing those things? Is it the same kind of, oh, this is something cool I can do, so therefore I will do it, that like drives a lot of your content stuff, or is it something different?
It's a little of both. Like I told you earlier, I grew up where it was like very lower middle class, like not great. I was homeless at one point when I was younger. Like I really just struggled a lot. And so if I can find like any opportunity to bring joy to other people, I'm going to do that. That's why the charity stuff was big for me for a while, because it's something that I deeply care about. And those are a lot of organizations I deeply care about as well. One of the first streams I ever went on was with Mental Misplay, and they were doing a really for sex workers, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, I've never seen anybody do that before. And so those are like things I'm really passionate about. As far as like creating those community spaces, I don't want to be like, Magic is about the gathering, because I know that's the cheesiest thing you've ever heard in your life, but it is.
But it's true.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
And I think
it's our cheesy truth.
It's our cheesy truth. And I think also like it is so important to me to, you know, say thank you to the people in our community who make these things possible, who make it so we can have sponsorships, who make it so that we can put these episodes out and bring unique guests on and have this experience. And even if, you know, I know for a fact that CDH is not always perceived the best way on the internet, and I want to showcase to people that it can be a really fun thing to try. And for those who are nervous to play at that kind of speed or don't know what deck they would like, I really wanted to just create an environment where they could do those things and ask their favorite content creators questions and learn about this. And I had so many people say that was the entire highlight of their weekend and were so grateful that they got to play with Cal or got to play with Play to Win, and really just like, yes, big, big uppies.
Or they played with Cal and they thought they got to play with Dylan and they were real excited about that.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Betrayed. It's funny.
It is funny.
You know, look, I've got long hair. I've got the two tattoos now. I've got the piercings. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be mistaken for the Play to Win crew eventually.
Well, you know what? Tyler was saying he gets mistaken for Dylan all the time, which I don't get. But also, like, I always say I'm the alternate, like, woman version of Dylan, because we look very much like the uh-huh. same aesthetically. So I think we're just all Dylan. That is it.
Yeah. Everyone is Dylan. Everyone yes. in the CDH community is Dylan. Write that down, chat.
Next
Everyone
CDH meetup, we'll all dress like Dylan and just be there. I think it's a really funny thing. We should do that.
So is there anything else like along those lines that you have on the horizon, or is there something that you would really like to do or organize along those lines that's just like maybe a little bit out of reach and you'd like to do in the future?
I mean, I'm a Magic ambassador and like content creator, so I've submitted a ton of really good community building events that I would love to do. I definitely want to do the Magic like learn to play for CDH, because I think Magic Kids and like Bobby Christine, they all do a really great job for beginner stuff, and so I think having a space for comp stuff would be really good to be intertwined with that. And also because, like, you know, it's not a real format CDH, for example.
Yeah,
so
it's a weird way to play a real format.
But I had a ton of Wizards like staff come up to me and was like, I heard your event that you put together went really well, and we had no backing for it. Like, I didn't get that space from Wizards or from anybody till like the day of. I just asked Dinah if we could use it, and it winded up being mm-hmm. great. We had 8 tables, right? And so mm-hmm. I want to provide that at every MagicCon, like a safe space to play that is fun and a learning experience. I want to keep doing like panels and workshops, which I have tons of ideas on those. And and I just want to constantly create fun environments, because mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be awkward or mean. And I know sometimes the LGS, for example, can feel like that, which I hate to see, because my LGS is great and I always want people to have a nice experience, right? But knowing that people are there to have the same kind of shared experience as you is always really fun. So yeah, I just hope to keep doing those CDH events. I hope to keep pushing it in a positive way. I hope to make magic more accessible to people, however we can do that. And I just like making people happy. So I'm glad that they enjoy my content.
There we have it. Cosplay Judge in the past, mm-hmm. Scrybabies in the present, and helping people be able to play Magic to the best of their ability in every space, now and into the future. Mm-hmm. There you got it. You have anything else you want to talk about, Lua?
I don't think so, but I would say if you're listening to this podcast for free, it would be super cool if you, do you have a Patreon? What do you have?
I do have a Patreon.
A little bonfire, you got like a little merch coming up soon.
I have a Patreon, just a Patreon.
Okay, yeah, go to that Patreon. I have to do that because I didn't even know about it till right now, so I'm going to go give Cal my dollars. Your dollars help make episodes possible. I know you have other co-hosts too, right, that you do this with, so that is the best thing you could do. And also the freest thing you can do is share content creators' content on the internet. Make sure you like and subscribe. I know you hear that shit all the time, but it really does help pushing these videos and podcasts out and letting people know they're there are just, again, the freest way to do that and really helps us. That's my words. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. Lua Stardust, parentheses, shadow banned on Twitter.
You're not wrong.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Herald's Horn. If you liked what you heard, consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you really enjoyed listening, you can support us directly on Patreon. I'll even send you a sticker in the mail. Every little bit helps us make the best podcast we can for you. Check out the link in the podcast description. Herald's Horn is hosted, edited, and produced by me, Cal Jones. The co-hosts are Emma Partlow, Lexi, better known as Black Girl Mage, and Dan, better known as Moderately Anonymous MTG. All of our info also lives in the podcast description. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Herald's Horn and any place else you can find us too. If you want to reach out to me about the podcast, hit up editorial@heraldshorn.com. I'd love to see your email. Thanks again for listening to The Herald's Horn. We're having so much fun creating it. See you in 2 weeks.
To research an article about like the history of Skibbity Toilet and write it, it would take at least $200, I think. I don't think I could do it for less than that.